John chapter 3, verse 22 through the end of the chapter. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon, near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing, and all are going to him." So if you get this picture, they're saying, "Jesus, or John, Jesus is better than us. How come? This isn't fair." Going on. Just making sure you guys are awake. John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy is mine, of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal for this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. For he who gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." I want to tell you a quick story. I was the best man at my friend Tyler's wedding. He actually had two best men, but that's another story. I was one of them. And as I was at his wedding, standing up there in my tux and looking all dapper and whatnot, standing up there, I decided, during his wedding, that I would just walk up and be like, "Hey guys, thanks for coming. This is a great day. I'm so glad you came here to see me. Because I look fantastic in my tuxedo. I got my nice little tie on. I got my nice little vest. Man," and I just broke out into a dance, and there was like everyone dancing around me because the day was all about me, right? No. No, that would be stupid. One, I would no longer have a best friend named Tyler. And two, I would just get booed off the stage because, honestly, everyone in the congregation, everyone in the church came to see my buddy Tyler and his beautiful wife, Danielle, get married. That was a great ceremony. It was a lot of fun. There is truth to it. When I was leaving, there was a little dance move that we got to do. I did the Gangnam style. But it was a fun ceremony. There's one thing that we talked about last week. One little phrase that has personally impacted my life a lot. And it's just one little phrase. It's not about you. Jerry Seinfeld once said, he was talking about being a best man. How many of you guys have heard of Jerry Seinfeld before?
Yes.
He's a comedian. Some of you guys have, some of you guys haven't. He's a comedian. He says, "What's up with the best man? I mean, isn't that a little bit too much? If I'm the best man, then why isn't she marrying me?" Right? He also says, "Why isn't it just the groom and another good guy? Why does it have to be the best man?" I want to talk to you guys. This passage that we talked about today talks about a best man of a wedding. John the Baptist refers to himself as the best man. And we kind of want to take a look at some aspects of this as to what a best man does today and what a best man did in in biblical times, and then what John did in preparation for God or for Jesus to come in as the bridegroom. And we're going to talk through that a little bit today. So first of all, we set the stage, right? John's disciples, the guys who are following after John, came up to him and said, "John, hey, Jesus is better than us. This isn't fair. How come Jesus gets all the credit? How come Jesus is getting all the attention now when we were the big shots? We're the best man. How come she's marrying him, basically?" And John says, "You know what? It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Christ." So I want to take a look. I want to ask you guys really quickly. We're going to look at best men. What are some things that the best men, or for the ladies, the maid of honor, what are some things that they do for the wedding?
Bachelor party.
They prepare the bachelor party, right? They plan the events that happen for the wedding. Bachelor party. What else do best men do?
Hold the rings.
They hold the rings. Ooh, that's a good one. Hold the rings, okay? What else? Anything else?
Pray.
Best men do pray. What's that?
Pray for the bride and groom.
Pray for the bride and groom. That would be a great best man thing to do.
Wedding toast.
Wedding toast. Thank you. They say, "Here's to..." For example, Tyler and Danielle, they've been best friends in my life. They've been great. I love them so much, and they're going to do great as a wedding couple. They tell stories. They prepare the audience to see who this couple is going to be in the future. Anything else that a best man does or a maid of honor in a wedding?
Run interference for little things.
Run interference. All right, that's true. My buddy Tyler told me that I was in charge of running interference specifically to his mom, because his mom could talk forever and ever and just talk your ear off, and he wanted to go see everyone else besides his mom. So I was in charge of running interference. So, interference. Anything else? All right. Let's take a look a little bit about what a best man did in biblical times. I came across this passage, and here's what it says. It says, "In Judea, there were two groomsmen, one for the bridegroom and the other for the bride." So basically, it's kind of like a best man and a maid of honor. Going on. "Before the marriage, they acted as intermediaries between the couple. At the wedding, they offered gifts, waited upon the bride and groom, and attended to them to the bridal chambers. It was the duty of the friend of the bridegroom to present him to his bride. After marriage, to maintain proper terms between the parties, and especially defend the bride's good fame." Okay, so biblical best men, they prepared everything. They prepared the wedding, they prepared the party, they prepared so much to get this wedding going. They acted as intermediaries. They were the person in between the bride and the groom. They were the wingman, if you will. How many of you guys have ever heard the term wingman? It comes from an original movie from the 1980s. My wife brought this up to me today, called Top Gun, which is a phenomenal movie. Iceman and Maverick, just so great. But Maverick's wingman was Goose. And Goose always had Maverick's back. Until something happened in the movie, and I'm not going to spoil the movie for you because that would be terrible. But Goose always had Maverick's back. My buddy Tyler, I told you I was his best man, but he was also my best man in our wedding. And when I met Bree, we were at an intervarsity party, and we were just chilling there, hanging out. And I don't know how he knew, but he was my wingman that night. He was the one who introduced me to Bree, honestly. Because we were just hanging out, talking about nerdy stuff, talking about Tron. And he looks at Bree. And I think he thought in his mind, there's something special about her for Jim. And he said, "Hey, do you like The Legend of Zelda?" And she's like, "Yes." And this was me. Marry me? Tyler introduced me to my wife. The best man in biblical times, the friend of the bridegroom, introduces the bride to the bridegroom. So he prepares the party. He introduces. And then there was also a part that he says, that this passage that I read says that the friend of the bridegroom also defends the honor of the couple. It's like giving the toast. It's like saying, "Hey, this couple is going to do great. I love you guys, and may you live happily for the rest of your life." So he defends their honor. This was more of the best man that John was trying to be, that John the Baptist was trying to be. I want to split us up into three groups real quickly. We're going to take a look at some biblical chapters in John chapter 1, because we'd already seen John explain a little bit of who he was, a little bit of his role. So what we're going to do is those three couches, I want you to come together, and I want you to read John chapter 1, 20 through 23. So you six right here, I want you to come together. These three couches right here, 1, 2, and 3. I want you to read John 1, 29 through 31. Okay? And then you three couches, I want you to come together and read John 1, 35 through 37. And I want you guys to break up, and I want you to tell me how John was acting like a best man for Jesus. I want you to look through that chapter. It's a short passage. And I want you to tell me how John was acting as a best man for Jesus. That group, could you read your passage out loud so everyone can hear it? And tell us how, and then after you're done reading it, have someone tell us how John was being a best man for Jesus. Read it out loud.
"He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Messiah.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord.'"
Okay, so how is John being a best man to Jesus? He was preparing. Preparing the way. He was preparing the festival. He was preparing the couple. He was preparing everything. He wasn't the bridegroom. He was the one who was preparing the way. Awesome. Group two.
"The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who reigns before me, because he was before me. I myself do not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.'"
Awesome. How was he being a best man?
He was introducing.
And finally, group three.
"The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus."
Okay. How was he being a best man?
He introduced them.
He introduced them once again. Guys, John was the forerunner. John was the preparer. John introduced the couple. And he made it such a way where he said, "Look, one is coming after me whose sandals I am not fit to tie. Someone's coming, and they're going to be the one you want to look to." So when... coming back to our chapter, when John's disciples say, "Hey, John, Jesus is better than us now. Jesus is doing better than us. That's not fair. We were first." John's like, "No, I'm the best man. It's not about me." I wrote this up here. I know some of you guys hate math with a burning passion, but this is a simple math problem. What does this mean? He is greater than I.
How can he be greater than the square root of -1?
Oh, we got a math nerd. Oh, no.
Imaginary numbers.
Oh. Okay, that's fair.
Because he is more real than me.
That's good. That's good. This is a brand in Hawaii. There's a brand of t-shirt called He is Greater Than I. And it's really cool because it's just a constant reminder of what John said in John chapter 3. He must increase while I must decrease. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about John. It's about Christ. Why are we talking about being a best man? What does this have to do with the average high schooler going to high school? You're not going to be a best man right away. You're not going to be a best man in high school that necessarily. I mean, eventually, yes. Ladies, you're probably not going to be a best man. What does this mean for us? I'm not trying to be sexist. But what is the one thing, one of the commandments that Jesus gave us before he left this earth?
Spread it around.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the nations, right? Go and be preparers for a relationship with God. Go and do the prep work. John the Baptist started out and he's like, "I am the one who is preparing the way for the Lord." You do the same. Acts 1:8 says, "But we are his ambassadors." That we're supposed to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Places that haven't even heard the name of Jesus before. And John's command, our command, is to prepare the way. Be a best man and prepare the way. Second part, introduce the couple. Like Tyler introduced me to Bree. Go up and say, "Hey, have you heard of Jesus before? Hey, let me show you Jesus." Prepare the way, but also introduce the couple. Help them to get to know each other. Be an intermediary. That means pray for the person. That means go out and show them how wonderful this Savior that we serve is. And then finally, remember, it's not about you. You're not a part of that relationship. That's the point for you to back off. He is greater than I. He must increase in their life while I must decrease. So first, prepare the way for the relationship between those who don't know Christ and those who do. Introduce them. Get them to know each other. And then finally, back off. Because Christ is more powerful and more important in that person's life than you or I. Are you willing to be a best man? Or a best woman? Are you willing to go out? Are you willing to share Christ with others? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this time that we've had. I thank you for who you are and for your love. And Lord, I pray that as we go out, that we would be able to prepare the way for you. Prepare the way for you to be known by others. Thank you so much that you trust us enough to do that. And that your Spirit works in us so that we can. God, I just pray that you would take control of our lives, God. Increase in our own lives day after day. Help us to know you more. Thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen.